Hello, Task Force. This is Christian, here to tell you about our show Movie Club and the last day of Enter the Matrix for this Friday's episode, where we cover the movie The Matrix Revolutions. This month, we've covered the second and third movies of the Matrix trilogy. Over at redwebpod.com, you can join us. You can listen along to the show, whether you've seen the movie or not. You can listen to us go through the plot, give our thoughts and reactions and analyses as we break things down. And by golly, for the Matrix movies, have we broken them down. These are our longest episodes of Movie Club to date, especially today. This is the official longest one so far, sitting at an hour 20. But we had an absolute blast going through this trilogy this month, and we hope you did too. So come on over to redwebpod.com to listen to the episode now. Let us know what you think. But here's a preview of this week's episode on The Matrix Revolutions.
This part upset me because I was like, what do you mean this? I mean, they gave a good reason. The train man's like, this is my world, etc. And so that's why, you know, he makes the rules or whatnot. But I was young me. I was like, what do you mean? You just did that to Neo.
Yeah. Like, wait, how are you going to punch Neo like that?
Mm-hmm. This rundown looking man that runs a train just did that to the one.
Yeah, come on, Neo. You're better than this.
Also, that name, dude. I thought it was like a kid thing. I was like, okay, what is his name? What is his name? It's got to be like, you know, the conductor or something, you know. The something. And Sati says, train man. I'm like, all right, cool. That's kid speak. So what's his real name going to be? And he goes, I'm the train man. I'm like, okay, come on.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Come on, man.
I don't think it's coming across like you think it is, my dude.
This sounds like a grown dude playing with model trains, but holding them in the air and going bang, bang. You know, I don't even mean like the highbrow collector where he's got him on.
Right, like Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah, I'm talking about holding them in his hands and banging them in the air. There's no cityscapes. There's no rolling hills. Train man.
Do any of us know another train in that series other than Thomas?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. There's Trevor the Tractor, baby.
I don't know if you're being serious.
I don't know. I have no clue.
The only reason I know is because it's my name.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute. There's a ton of other ones with names. I have no clue.
Yeah, 100%. But he's a tractor.
He's a tractor.
Okay, so this is another moment where like I always feel like I'm Trevor-splaining because I'm so steeped in the lore, and I feel like...
No. No, this is the whole point of this stuff.
Yeah. But I feel like rewatching it should be pretty apparent. But as a kid, again, this is speaking to all those folks out there who might have rewatched this with us and have their kid memories on like we did. I was deeply confused. How did he end up here? How is he in the Matrix when he's not jacked in physically? And what the hell is this place? Like, it just, as a kid, I remember in the theater just being very confused. Hence why so many people were like, blah. It's like the Star Wars... prequel sequel, or like Star Wars episodes 1-3, they're very politically heavy, and so they're just like, oh, come on.
Oh yeah.
But once you have the adult vision, like you said, the frontal lobe, you go, oh, got it. So like, ultimately, because Neo touched the source, he now has this like Wi-Fi capability in his like mechano human body, right? He's an augmented human because he's got all these plugs and things, and that hardware now has like source code in it, and so he can tap into the Matrix wirelessly, and that's kind of what he's doing here in this comatose state. He's inadvertently jacked in, but he's not actually in the Matrix. He is in this like illegal pipeline that the Merovingian has set up, and it's supposedly the train man is a software or a program that built this injection area, this kind of like black market, a way to get software in and out of the Matrix safely without going to the source and being wiped or deleted. And so that all makes sense in hindsight now. Right. Like, I knew all this from lore videos, but watching this, I can see how it would be, it's shown and not said, but like, that's what's happening. Got it. That disarms the confusion. One of a million confusing pieces that come up in this particular movie, but it definitely helps me appreciate it more.
Yeah. I also feel like if you want to take it from the religious allegory perspective, this is purgatory.
Yes.
That's how I'd initially taken it, is like, oh, this is like that in between, because Neo is in a coma and he's in trouble. He's kind of dead, but he's not dead. And so he's literally in that place trying to figure out where he's going to go in the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
I never put too much thought into it to flesh it out beyond that. But I do remember that was kind of my initial take on what was happening.
It's so perfect because, like, Sisyphus, you know, he's, like, caught pushing this boulder up the hill, and how does Sisyphus break this loop? There's so many, like you said, allegories or metaphors within the Matrix that work organically and really well. And so you can see how it's inspired by historical storytelling, but also like telling it through the lens of a very modern story with like the internet and the Matrix. I think that alone is pretty impressive, without it being maybe too on the nose or too in your face, maybe. I don't know.